Awesome. So one of the cool parts about the relationship and influence between God and the believer is that he is not only concerned with the parts of your life that you believe concern him. God is not only concerned with the parts of your life that you believe concern him. God is actually interested in, and he is deeply involved in, every part of your life. Now, when we think and consider the parts of our life that God is most interested in or involved in, typically we think about things like prayer, church, and maybe our family life. And it is true that the scriptures do, in fact, have a lot to offer on those particular subjects. But what ends up happening then is everything else is compartmentalized, if you will, separately from God. As if we have a spiritual life, that one that's a little more scheduled and is set aside for God, and then just the normal day-to-day life. But Scripture knows nothing of this dualism. This is a very westernized understanding of practicing the Christian faith, one that distinguishes God and faith apart from the rest of ordinary life in the secular world. We're calling this series Business Matters, a biblical perspective on work. Business Matters being sort of a play on words, because it is rare that we consider God's influence, his instruction, and all that he has to say concerning our professional work. We often understand God and work to be irrelevant to one another. And perhaps for some of us, as almost counteracting one another. This could be because we confuse our, quote, work with our works. But this kind of work we're describing in this series is not about salvation or earning anything. It's about your source of income. You're chasing your dreams and changing the world through your service. Hear me clearly. God and work are not mutually exclusive. They do not have to exist as separate concepts from one another. In fact, God has said a lot throughout the scriptures about work. And that's what this three-week series is all about. The bottom line is, work is a gift from God for God. If you get anything out of this series, if you remember anything that I'm going to say today, I hope this is it, that work is a gift from God for God. And boy, wouldn't this change everything for us regarding our jobs, our careers? What was once considered labor is now considered service. What we used to see as just a job is now understood as opportunity. And many of us are still skeptical. I mean, how can work be a, quote, gift when we consider that boss? What about that position? Or have you seen that paycheck? Work, a gift, somewhere between a toxic work environment and severe back pain, we lose the understanding of work as a, quote, gift. Work is too hard to be a gift. Honestly, if work is a gift, I would like a refund. So we are only left to survive. We don't thrive. We just survive for as long as we can until we reach retirement or death. For which, of course, we say, I just can't wait for the day when I'm with Jesus and don't have to work anymore. But here's some shocking news for many of you. Eternal life may be void of pain and suffering, but it will not be void of work. Some of you are like, are you serious? It may be void of pain and suffering and war and chaos, and he may wipe the tears from your face, but it is not void of work. We have an understanding of heaven and eternal life that is based more on ancient philosophers like Plato than it is Jesus and Holy Scripture. We cannot fathom the place of, quote, eternal rest involving work. The eternal life with Christ in the new heaven and new earth will be very much like this life, minus the presence and reality of sin in the world. One thing that will remain the same is the responsibility of work. Work may look different, but it will remain as an active part of our lives nonetheless. The truth is, work is God's good idea for his good creation. Look with me at what Moses wrote in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Moses writes, "The Lord God took the man being Adam, the Lord God took Adam and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it." Now, for clarification, this was God's idea before the fall of man. No work is not the aftermath of sin entering the world. Work is not a result of sin. God put man in the garden to work it and to keep it. And then sin happened. So God puts Adam in the garden to work the garden. And it is good. It's God's good idea. And then sin happened in chapter 3. That made work much more difficult, much more painful. In fact, this painful work, this difficult work, is the very curse from sin. Let's read what he says to Adam in Genesis chapter 3. We're going to read verse 17 and verse 19. "And to Adam, he," God, "said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree," that's what he says, "cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life." Verse 19. "By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." So Adam is placed in the garden for work, keeping the garden. And then after the fall, after he listens to his wife, after Eve takes of the fruit, there is a curse that is now placed on humanity. And God's curse that he gives over to Adam because of this sin, because of this disobedience, is that from now on, this garden that you are working in will cause you pain. It will cause you to sweat. And so this difficulty and pain, this busyness and tiredness that we feel are what we actually want to be freed from. Not work, but the pain and the difficulties and the sweat and the grievous parts of your work. That is what we want to actually be freed from. But this does not remove the significance of our calling to work. So, here's the question. If work is a good and holy task, then what does that mean for how I work? Considering work as a quote, gift from God, as I said earlier, does that mean that I should take a different approach to my job, to my career? There are a few perspective shifts we can make for greater performance, I believe, and greater joy in our workspace. Paul gives us some direction in his letter to the believers at Colossae. Let's read from Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Familiar verse to many of us. Paul says, "Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men." Whatever you do, work heartily. Work mightily. Work with everything you have, as if you were working for the Lord and not for men. So in this verse alone, there are two very key perspective shifts that we can make according to this short instruction from Paul. The first is this: your boss is not your boss. Your boss is not your boss. He says, as if you were working to the Lord, for the Lord, unto the Lord, your translation might say, and not for men. That supervisor who's constantly on your back, that CEO who acts as though he's too good for you, your direct report who isn't giving you the time of day, he or she may sign your paycheck, but they are not your boss. And God being your boss doesn't mean that you give less effort towards satisfying your coworkers beside and above you. It actually means you commit more effort toward pleasing them. So this now leads to our second perspective shift. So your boss is not your boss. But more than that, good enough is not good enough. Good enough is not good enough. Paul says, work unto the Lord and not for men. But he also says, whatever you do, work heartily. Whatever we're going to do, we must give our whole self to it. Some translations say, work from the soul. Give your full effort. One translation even says, be enthusiastic about the opportunity. We don't want to settle for half-hearted attempts. Good enough is not acceptable for us. We give all we can to what's in front of us. St. Augustine once said, pray as if everything depended on God, and work as if everything depended on you. God will indeed make up for everything we cannot accomplish. But I'm not sure he'll do the same for what we choose not to accomplish. Church, brothers and sisters in Christ, if we are working unto the Lord, if we are working for the Lord and not for men, we must do it with excellence and diligence. Excellence and diligence. A word on each. First, a word on excellence. To work with excellence is to strive for the absolute best result. It is to commit yourself to an outcome that stands out from the rest. It gives attention to the smallest details while always keeping the big picture in mind. We work with excellence not because God needs us or anything we can do or create, but simply because God is worthy of excellence. He deserves all we can give from all that we have. And that is what excellence truly is. Taking all that we have and doing all we can do to give him all we can give. And God will honor us as long as we are doing just that with pure motive and pure action. Second, a word on diligence. Proverbs 13:4 comes to mind, which says, "The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied." Diligence is careful and persistent work. It is standing in the face of opposition and difficulty and remaining steadfast and determined. When things hit the fan, when there's gossip amongst your coworkers, when your team just can't seem to get anywhere with that project, practicing diligence keeps you motivated and does not leave room for apathy or indifference or carelessness or straight up laziness. When we feel weak, God will be our strength. When we are tired, God will give us endurance. When we feel careless, God will be our guide. When we feel a bit lost in the chaos, God will bring direction. And we will continue on with our whole selves for the glory of God and for the good of myself and those around me. To sum this all up, work can be hard sometimes. Some jobs and positions being harder than others. Just on a personal side note, I've been considering a lot lately 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Been holding on to this. "Therefore, brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always continuing in your work for the Lord, knowing that your work for the Lord will not go in vain." So no matter where you're at, what you do, how much you make, or who your supervisor is, you have the opportunity to change your mind, to change your perspective about why you do what you do, and who you're doing it for. Because work is a gift from God, for God. So we give him our best work. If you're a teacher, this isn't in my script. If you're a teacher, you work with all your might to produce students who love to learn and who will love to learn for the rest of their life to the glory of God. Not for your boss, not for your paycheck, but to the glory of God. If you're a custodian, you clean toilets to the glory of God. They will be the cleanest toilets you've ever seen in your life, because I'm doing it for the Lord, not for man. If you do lawn work, I know we've got Vinny in the room. If you do lawn work, you make the best lawns, excellence, and you stay steadfast and strong with diligence to the glory of God. Whatever you do, if you're a waitress, If you're retired and you don't have a full-time job, but you just you do work for people, you do it with excellence and with diligence because it is to the glory of God. Whatever you do, do it with all your heart. Do it from your soul. Do it with all your might. Be enthusiastic about it. That's the hard part, right? Because it is work unto the Lord and not for men. Your boss is not your boss. Which means good enough is no longer good enough. We give him our best work. Let's pray. Father, we bless you. We honor you, Lord. You are faithful. You're just and perfect in all your ways. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who is in this room with us, God. I pray over my brothers, my sisters, my friends here, Lord, that for those who are just really wrestling in the workplace, who are really just at odds with their assignment, at odds with their coworkers, Lord, that God, you would just instruct them and lead them along the right path, that you would give them wisdom and discernment, that, Lord, you would help them to stand on truth while also honoring their neighbor. God, you are a holy and perfect God, and you deserve nothing except our best. And so, Lord, would you move us in that today? In Jesus' name, amen.